It's good to be here once again as we're here to study the Word of God and grow towards perfection. And this morning I want to talk about poetry of the Philippian church. Paul paints a beautiful spiritual picture as we look at the great example that the Philippians left behind. In Philippians chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 9, poetry of the Philippian church. Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. Where Paul was writing to the brethren at Philippi. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, and we know that a bondservant is a slave. They were slaves, Paul and Timothy were slaves of Jesus Christ. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. For the fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. And we'll stop reading there. And I want to set forth the characteristics that we should emulate. The molding of individual ideals into group characteristics is not merely a social phenomenon. It can be an enlightening experience spiritually. In other words, God's word will lighten up our lives when we study it and apply it to our lives. It will lighten up our lives. It makes our lives brighter. When we study it and we put God's word to practice. The Philippian church has some outstanding characteristics. As I have studied and looked at this, these can be challenging examples to us. Challenging examples. Because we do want to get better. No doubt about that. That's why we come to church, and it's why we study the Bible, and we want to get better. A church of saints. If you see there in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, we find a church of saints. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Those bishops were overseers. Bishops, pastors, presbytery, those are just names for overseers. There's another one I was, shepherds. Acts 20:28. Overseers. And then the deacons were servants. We see here, but he talks about saints as well, and we are saints. We are saints. Sometimes people, I've heard people in the past who say, you know, we're no saints. But we are. We are saints. The Corinthian church had been called to be saints. Corinthian church. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 and 2, they were saints where Paul was writing to them, the brethren at Corinth. And he says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Apostle is one who is sent forth. The apostles were divinely selected and appointed. They did not have to study the Bible, the word of God. God put it right in their hearts. And they just would, we call it spit it out. So they would teach it. But if there, look at verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. There's the word we're looking at for right now. Called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. They were called to be saints. And we know that we're called through the gospel. Pardon me. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, Paul said, we called you by our gospel. People ask me, were you called to preach? Yes. How was you called? Through the gospel. You study God's word and you teach it to others. And we see here that, a good point here, to the church of God. This is a scriptural name. A scriptural name. Church of God, Church of Christ, Body of Christ, Church of the Firstborn. Those are scriptural names. You would not find in the Bible Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Catholic churches. I'm still preaching the old timey way. Be humble with it, but I'm still going to preach it and just tell it like it is when I'm out there. You won't find Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall in the Bible. You won't find that. You will find the Church of God, Church of Christ, Romans 16 and 16. You're going to find scriptural names. And if we're going to use the Bible, if people call themselves following Jesus, why don't they use the Bible? You won't find those denominational names in the Bible. And then we have here, again, saints, those set apart. We are set apart. We are to be different from the world. Therefore, the holy ones. The challenge to be holy. We have to be holy. It's a challenge. Set apart from the world. 1 Peter chapter 1, 13. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13. We'll turn to a few of these scriptures. We won't keep you long this morning. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 1 and 13, therefore gird up the loins of your mind. Got to keep on working on that mind. Got to keep on thinking the way God would have us to think. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. And let me say this, that men who do not know God cannot live righteous. Can't live a righteous life if they don't know God. It's impossible for them to live a righteous life. But if you would, look at verse 15, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, and then in all your conduct there. And then he tells us there in verse 16, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So he's saying we need to be holy. And Leviticus 11:44, I'm not going to turn there, I'm not going back there. But that's what God told the Israelites. Be holy, for I am holy. He did not want them worshiping idols. and messing around with the world. He wants them to be different from the world, and we're the same way. He wants us to be different from the world. And then we find in verse 17, and if you call, and we call through prayer, we pray to God and call on Him to help us. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. He wants us to always conduct ourselves the way He would have us to conduct ourselves. And this fear here is not a shaky fear where they start lightning and thunder and then we shake, get scared. That's not the fear that He's talking about here. The fear that He's talking about here is the reverence fear. Respect for God. Respect for Him. Remember, was it Solomon said? Ecclesiastes, last chapter of Ecclesiastes. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So we fear God by obeying Him. That's how we fear God. Peter's use, God's people were being persecuted. And we asked ourselves, when we're under persecution, I don't have a right to deviate from the word of God. Even when I'm under persecution, I'm going to have to do it God's way. If I don't do it God's way, it's going to set me back. Just attitude or whatever it might be. Peter talks about suffering. Persecution is an indication of holiness. When we stay on track, since when Peter, 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15. Peter talks about suffering. Now I can suffer for evil doing, which I bring that on myself, or I can suffer for being a Christian. If I suffer for being a Christian, I don't need to be ashamed of that. If I suffer because of something I've done, then I ought to be ashamed. So he says here in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer. And we don't have to take a 45 and shoot a man to be a murderer. The Bible says if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. Just preaching and getting it out there. And no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Somebody said you'll live longer if you just mind your own business. I had a lady, I think 100 and something years old, and they asked her, you know, about her life, and she said exercise, you know, but I don't remember everything she said, but she said, and mind your own, take care of your own business. Don't be meddling with other people's business. That's work. I told a guy at work one time when I was working, I said, you doing stuff the boss didn't even tell you to do. And you talking about you under stress? Well, no wonder. What I'm doing, that ain't none of your business. You know, it's just none of your business. So we can get in the... There's nothing wrong with helping people, don't get me wrong. But he's saying, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Now watch him in verse 16. Yet if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of Christ? If the righteous one is scarcely saved, that is, with difficulty and hardship, we're just scarcely slaves saved. We got a lot of work to do to make it in, and we can do that work. Where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? And we know that there is no hope for those who will not obey the gospel, who will not be baptized for the remission of their sins, who won't repent of their sins. There's no hope for them. And there we have also in verse 19 I want to look at. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to a faithful Creator. And so persecution may lead to even compromise. Sometimes we don't want to do that. But sometimes people, when they're persecuted, they will compromise. I could get into a story where the apostles were commanded not to teach in the name of Jesus. And the high priest, and they were out there preaching, and next morning out there preaching. And the high priest said, I thought we told y'all to stop this about Jesus. They said, well, we must obey God rather than man. And they put him in prison. And when they were put in prison, I think the angel opened the gate, the door, they got out. So you can't stop the truth. No way we can stop the truth. But persecution may lead to compromise. They could have compromised on that situation and said, well, we won't do it no more, sir. We won't preach about Jesus no more. They didn't say that. They said, you have to do what you have to do because we're going to be back at it. Okay? All right. Shall we be like the church at Philippi? Those brethren were faithful. The ever-threatening world. Remember Romans 12 where Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't be like the world. Don't think like the world. Don't act like the world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your heart, your mind. We have to guard the heart. We have to guard it. And so he tells us, don't be like the world. Don't let the world pressure you into their way of life. Don't let them pressure you into their way of life. Jesus prayed for the apostles. And he told the apostles, Jesus was praying to God, said to about the apostles, I'm not going to pray that they'd be taken, not taken out of the world, but there'll be that you keep them from the evil one. Let's look at that there. John 17 and 15. John 17 and verse 15, where Jesus was, he was praying to the Father. John 17 and 15, and I thought there was God, Jesus, he prayed that don't take them out of the world. We're going to be left here until time to go. And God is going to leave us here, and he wants us to let our light shine. He wants us to let people know that we love the Lord. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. But that you should keep them from the evil one. As long as we're here, there's persecution is going to hit us. There's temptation is going to hit us. We're going to be tempted until the day we die. But we're in the world, but we're not of the world. World today, crazy with pleasure. Crazy with pleasure, obsessed with sexual immorality. Materialism controlled lives of multitudes. Materialism. And let's not let anything or anybody control us but God. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, where Paul was writing to the Colossians, if then you were raised with Christ, set your minds on things above and not on things on the earth. If we set our minds on things of the earth, I'm going to tell you, we're going to be disappointed. If we set our minds on whatever that it might be, people, and make them those people our God of materialism, we're going to be disappointed. You know why? Because those things changes. It just change. And let's go over and look at that. There's more. Colossians 3. Let me just see what all of that is. I think I've got. Colossians chapter 3 and 1. Colossians 3 and 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And so there's a good point right here, I see. The longing of our hearts should not be for the comforts and honors of this world, but for the treasures that are eternal. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And there's more that we'll read that later another time. And you know what the devil wants us to do? He wants us to set our minds on things on the earth. He don't want us to set our minds on things above, but on the earth. Church involved in furthering the gospel, Philippians 1 and verse 5. We need to be more interested in getting the gospel out to the world and try to save as many people as we possibly can while we're on this earth. If I live to be 90 or 100, that's still short compared to eternity. And all this stuff here is going to be burned up. And I'm just amazed at so many churches just setting on money when they ought to be trying to support preachers. They just setting on it. Guess what? God is not coming back for all that money. He's coming back for souls, and he's going to burn it all up. And people, but yet they will worry about it and lay it up. He gonna burn it up. And I encourage people to enjoy yourself, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And as we look at the gospel, Philippians 1 and 5, where Paul, he says here in our text, and we'll be through here just in a few minutes. And I have learned that whatever I do, if I don't do it God's way, it just don't work. I waste my time. I just have wasted my time. It wasn't God's way. He's not going to let me have my way. And that's just the way it is. He won't let anybody have their way. And see, we have here, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Nature of the gospel. The nature of the gospel is God's love for sinful people. And we need to have the same love that God had for sinful people. We're saved, and I want to just say, I just thank my grandmother on my dad's side. She taught dad and taught mom, my mother. As a result of her faithfulness, then my siblings are in the church. But if she never said nothing, who knows? I don't know if I'd be a member or not. We have to teach people. And all she did was told my mom, because my mom, I think she was either Methodist or Baptist, and she said, my grandmother said, I want you to ask your preacher to give you the scripture and show you, read it to you, where you can be a Methodist or a Baptist. She asked him, oh yeah, I'll get you that scripture. Yeah, I'll get it to you. And she waited around about another 2 weeks and I want that scripture now, I want the scripture. Oh yeah, I'll get it. She knew then he couldn't get it because it's not in the Bible. And I kind of feel sorry for people. You got saints in neighborhoods. We out there in neighborhoods and we have the truth and you talk to people and they just don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. One man told me in my neighborhood, said, that's one thing I don't do. I don't talk about religion and politics. Well, we need to talk about it. If they don't want to talk about it, I'm not saying you force it on people, but at least try to let them know that if you're not in the church that's in the Bible, you cannot be saved. I didn't write it. Possibility of a new holy life. Let me move on. These people who are not Christians, if we can reach them, however we can do that, whether it be through internet, whatever, door knocking, if you want to do that. Sometimes we have neighbors that we know. You know, maybe it wouldn't hurt to go across the road and ask them sometime, like to have a Bible study. Reality of hope. Those who are not Christians are lost, and they are without hope. I'm going to stop right here. I'm kind of excited about this Philippian. I studied this back at the Third and Park years ago in Bible class. We went through Philippians, and there's a lot of good information that I want to share with you all. There may be someone out there who's not a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you need to be a Christian. There's time for you. You have time because you are alive. When you die, there's no more, you won't have no chance to be saved. You must hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of your sins, confess Christ before men, and be buried with Christ in baptism, and that's going to put you in the church that's in the Bible. And when you're out there teaching people, they all haven't been baptized. But if you're not in the church that's in the Bible, I said, you haven't been baptized right. You just got wet. You need to be baptized right. The right baptism will put you in the right church. If you talk wrong, you're going to be baptized wrong. Can't get people to see that. And if you are a Christian and you have gone back into the world, back into sin, please make your life right with God while together we stand to sing the song that has been selected. Thank you.